we are. We're officially recording.
Oh my gosh.
So here we are. We're actually in the booth. We made it happen. There was a little bit of a debacle last time with just recording.
Just a small little debacle.
Just small. And you can't imagine how I felt to be like, all right, the door is locked. You just drove from San Diego. Can I at least get you some lunch, right? And so now when you had texted, oh, the door is locked in the studio, I said, Lord Jesus, the devil's trying to, he's truly trying to mess with me right now. All right, how can I reframe this? How can I be like, okay, this is a moment of sanctification. This is a moment where, you know, I prayed for patience. I prayed for endurance. Maybe this is actually what it looks like. Okay, how do I roll with the punches? How do I show up with a smile, ready to go, and not be fuming, right? Because that's not a good look, especially since this is the first time we're doing video.
That's true.
I want to have a smile, a pleasant smile, not. Right. Okay. So, let's get after it. Alex, I don't think I ever told you this, but you are one of the reasons for me training again. And so, seeing your metamorphosis, I said, okay, I've postponed this long enough. Alexandria made such an evolution. All right. And so I sent you a message on, what was it, Messenger? Facebook Messenger?
Yeah, Facebook.
And it was the last message I sent to anyone because I shut that account down because that's the one that I had since Facebook was invented. Like, you know, I was 18, 19 years old. So there was a lot of stuff. If people had scrolled back, I'd say, oh,
we all have regrets.
Yeah, this was
past social media when they
went. Was enough to shut the whole thing down. But it was pivotal as the marker of a message being sent. And then 4 years later, we reconnected. And I said, hey, you got to come on this podcast and tell your story. Because your story, well, I'm not going to tell the story for you. You tell the story. How did it start?
How did it start? Well, it started in 2017. It was a year after I had graduated from college. And then I was just really soul searching. And then in 2017, I got into a program called the Truth and Beauty Project.
Truth and
over
Beauty.
In Rome, Italy.
Okay.
And so over there, they were just wanting to feed digital artists, faith-based digital artists. And it was the first time I started to learn how to receive. Because for most of my life, up until then, I was always working to prove myself to other people, trying to win their affection, win their love. But I didn't know how to love myself. And then the founders of this program, they flipped flipped me on my head.
Turned everything upside down.
Mm-hmm.
They pulled a lockdown.
Yeah.
Is it too soon?
Couple years earlier than that. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
And so when I came back to the States, I wanted to learn, what does it look like to love myself? How do I take care of me? And so I looked online. I was like, well, Amazon, they're always hiring, I hear. So I looked online, had two different interviews. And then I was offered both of them, but I ended up choosing the one that took me to Riverside County.
Okay.
And after the first week, I walked into the gym, gave them my credit card. I was like, I would love a gym membership and a trainer. Thank you. And the girl, she just stared at me. She's like, wow. Yeah, just like that. I'm like, yeah, I need help.
That's the dream for a personal trainer.
I was like, I need help. I don't know what to do.
So describe that. The moment of saying, I don't know what I'm doing. I need some help. I don't go to the gym. I heard that people get in shape when they go to the gym. Being a fish out of water, just walking in and saying, sign me up, personal trainer. What was that like?
It was a little scary at first, but I knew I didn't have the tools to take care of myself. And so I wanted to be able to pay somebody to educate me. I knew that I just needed outside help. And so hiring that trainer, he really challenged me, especially in how I viewed myself and learning how to show up for myself when I wanted to give up in a workout. And so he helped to train that resiliency and that perseverance in me.
Because that's hard.
It is hard. Oh my gosh. Yeah. There were times where I wanted to give up and he would say, don't you dare give up. Push through, channel that energy. Think about maybe some unfair situations and just channel all of that here at the gym.
Wow.
And then I also ended up hiring a, what's it called? I'm drawing a blank. I ended up hiring a food prep service.
Oh, nice.
And it was a local
one. Oh, yeah, nice.
Because I had no idea how to eat. I'm just like, okay, what does a well-balanced meal look like?
Oh, man.
And so my trainer, he said, eat about 500 calories per meal. Eat your protein. So that's all you should tell them. And after about 4 or 5 months, I started getting a good idea of different portion sizes. And so I started to measure my own food.
Awesome.
And weigh things, cook it, and meal prep. And at first, it took a long time. Like, I would make a big mess in the kitchen. And I love to cook. But yeah, I would make a big mess in the kitchen. And my landlord at the time, she's like, you're making a big mess. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So it was a big learning curve. And it required a lot of humility, which I didn't have. So it was very difficult.
I'm glad you said that, because that's part and parcel for starting a fitness journey, saying, I don't know what I'm doing, but I see where I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who knows what they're talking about? What's a credible source? And then a trial and error for all of this. So if you have never meal prepped before, there's going to be a huge mess. And when I first started doing that, I would meal prep on Sunday, but then I probably wouldn't clean up till around Thursday completely, right? So it's like, all right, got a pile of dishes in the sink, and there's no wipage on the counter. The next day, oh man, I need some spoons. Well, I have a bunch of other stuff I need to do, so I put it off. And so, truth be told, it's still a problem to this day, but it's not as bad as when I first started. And it sounds like you had a neutral third party. Well, I guess it's not neutral. This person had vested interest in their property, so said, hey, Alex, pull it together, lock it up. But the whole thing is, you get faster and better and faster at doing it until you can actually set it and forget it. And then that takes out, would you think that's about a third of the challenge of going to the gym, is eating, knowing what you're eating, having it ready, and then not having to think about what you're eating again?
So what I think, what I say, it's about a third of
the whole kit and caboodle of a fitness journey. Like, there's lifting, there's cardio, there's food, there's sleep. At what portion of the pie is meal prep?
I would say it's like second tier. First tier should probably be your sleep, your recovery.
Yeah.
And then how are you feeding your body? Because that's what's going to fuel your body when you're going to the gym. But also, if you're not well rested, then your eating choices are probably going to be trash.
Yes.
Your workouts are going to probably be extra trash.
Yes.
And so I think recovery and sleep, that's the first thing that you need to do. And that's what I tell my clients, like, what is your recovery like? And that's something my trainer right now is reinforcing in me, because I've had such a busy schedule. And she's like, how is your recovery? I'm like, oh, wait, that's right, I'm not sleeping.
Yes. And this is a role reversal. The teacher has now become the student hearing you say this, because that was what happened. So I'd go for 6 weeks training regimens, and then a little bit of a brief hiatus, like about a week. And then just, I stay in the mode, but I'm not, okay, I need to lose 10 pounds. Okay, let's work on stretching and recovery. But this one, I got schooled pretty hard because I wasn't sleeping. I was burning the candle at both ends, right? Going to bed really late, waking up really early, training as hard as if I was well rested. And then everyone was like, hey, why do you have an attitude? I think you need a drink. I think you need to take it easy. I think you need a vacation. But it was everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I noticed, and it's only by the grace of God, was in my mind, everything became someone wanted to instigate a fight. In my mind is, hey, all right, 0 to 100. I'm set to kill right now. What? What do you mean, how's my day going? You want to go? You want to do this right now? Like, but it was very innocuous. Mm-hmm. But it was because I wasn't rested.
Right? That was so me. Mm. The past couple months.
Yeah. That's bad. That's bad.
I woke up ready to fight.
Ready to fight. Yeah. This is, it's not good. So everyone who's listening, just realize something gets hit in a very primal level. Like, I don't know if it goes back to cave hunting days. I have no idea what it is. But the only thing I can compare it to is if you play sports, when it's time to enter the field or go onto the court or enter the ring, that's that switch that happens. But it's not good for socializing or talking. Yeah, it's not good. It's not good. Right? Why is this person staring at me in the gym? Like, meanwhile, they're looking at someone.
They're just zoned off. They're zoned out. Yeah. They're minding their own business. Yes. They're like, I don't like the way they're looking at me. Like, it's not about you. Yeah. That's the thing.
That's the thing. Yes. So stay rested, recover, and let it slide off your back, whatever the thing is.
Yeah. You'll make more progress when you recover.
You make more progress. Make more friends.
And you make more friends. That's right.
You won't make as many enemies. Moving right along. Okay, so first tier is rest and recovery. Second tier is the meal prep and what you're going to be eating.
Yeah, it's the nutrition aspect. What are you feeding your body? Mm-hmm. And I think in today's world, it's now very convenient to choose some healthier options as well. Mm-hmm. And so I would say that we don't have any excuses.
Yeah,
we can come up with excuses, but there are lots of healthy alternatives.
Yes.
But maybe people just aren't aware. So even buying a rotisserie chicken from Costco, which is like $6, you could do that. Shred it up. Mm-hmm. That's your protein.
You're good to go.
Buy some frozen veggies.
Yes.
Get the microwavable carbs. Mm-hmm. So potatoes, they're just dry. Yeah, water is better than what you're eating now. So
yes.
Swap for the healthier alternative, but what's convenient?
Let's slow it down because that was a lot to take in. Imagine someone had never heard this before. Start over by saying the swaps that you could do, and then actually how much time you save for the overall big picture of what you're doing.
Okay. So just some healthier swaps that you can do. Because what's quick and easy, a lot of times we'll go through the drive-thru.
Yes.
To McDonald's, Carl's Jr., Jack in the Box, Del Taco.
that's mine.
Oh, man. I don't know why people like Del Taco.
So this is not an indictment of Tex-Mex fast food, not authentic, but it's a good substitute. I think it's so incredibly average, but then when you add the sauce, it becomes a contender with all other food that you get real fast.
Okay, maybe I just haven't had the sauce.
Oh, that's where you messed up. Yeah, yeah, this food. So, I don't even know what to compare it to. If you didn't put sauce on it, like their Intenso, Inferno, whatever, I'd imagine you'd think it's very bland. And like, why does anyone come here? But that's the game changer right there.
It's like the Chick-fil-A sauce.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, so I actually stash the Chick-fil-A sauce and add them to other places or bring them home and add them to whatever was meal prepped.
Smart.
And I know you can make your own sauce. It's not that hard. Olive oil, a little bit of honey. I'm like, oh, hey, this is where I make my exceptions. Okay, so it was a substitute. What's another thing to do?
Another thing to do for substitutes, so rotisserie chickens, a lot of frozen meats that you can get, and also use your ovens.
Yes.
Because for me, I have been jam-packed busy the past couple months, especially as my training has leveled up, and then just my responsibilities are just getting even more. Mm-hmm. I would utilize my oven. I would get frozen veggies or already chopped up veggies, throw it on my tray, and then get the chicken, put it right on top, have it all seasoned, leave it in there for 30 minutes to an hour, is ready.
Good to go.
Yeah, so it only takes a couple minutes.
Yeah.
All you need are scissors.
Yes.
And maybe salt and pepper.
Let's say that again. So in a couple minutes of just prepping what you already have, you throw it in the oven, 30 to an hour later, it's ready. Mm-hmm. So that's just a little bit of foresight, and it won't sabotage what you've been training for.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, and then you don't have to package your food in containers. I think when you get more diligent, more intense with your training, then it can be beneficial. But you can just have a container with your roasted veggies. And if you want to buy a bag of carrots, there it is. And so you can mix and match your veggies, get different proteins. And then so you just mix and match. Have it your way, like Burger King.
I'm glad you said that, because the thing that got me was the cleanup of all those containers. I'm like, all right, I feel like I'm back in college, my undergrad days, right, where I first started working out like that. But then when I started making the overnight oats, I'm like, all right, I'm not going to split this up. I'm going to have it in that huge tray. And then when I'm ready, I scoop it into a dish or a container, go from there. Mm-hmm. So you brought light to an area of, I guess I was looking down on myself for not having it prepped already to the portion for breakfast, lunch, dinner, whatever it would be. So yeah, you gave me a little consolation in this moment of it's very innocuous, but it was a big deal to me. So you just brought relief.
Thank you. Praise God.
Praise God. All right. So if someone had never heard about portion control or caloric intake, how would you explain that for saying throughout the day only have be set to this, give or take?
Okay. So I would say your car, right? It only takes a certain amount of gas for the tank. And if you add more, you're just wasting money and it's just spitting out of your tank. And so when we eat more than what our body needs, we are storing that excess gasoline into fat. And so being in a caloric deficit, you're eating a little bit less than your maintenance, what your body needs to run on 100%. And so if you're looking to trim down a little bit, so it would be beneficial to be in a caloric deficit, or instead of eating a little bit less, amp up your steps for the day.
Oh,
because
I like
then
that.
You're burning more. You're using up more fuel.
And that's like a safety precaution to do that. And I noticed that the second I start the routine of either doing some exercise, some calisthenics before I eat, and then a 10-minute walk afterwards, I'm never concerned about, oh, did I eat more than 100 calories more than what I set it to be? But then after a couple weeks, I stretch it to be a 20-minute walk. And then it's not even close to when I first started, right? So, yeah, this is gold. You're giving everyone gold right now. Okay.
I actually wanted to say one more thing, because you had mentioned that, I ate maybe 100 more calories in that meal. I think it's important for people to understand, and I think for those who are watching, that don't give yourself a cutoff of, let's say, 1,800 calories. Give yourself a range to some
smart.
Cushion in
yeah,
between.
Yeah.
So 1,800 to 2,000 calories per day.
Okay.
Because at least for me, when I was like, okay, so I have to eat 1,800 calories. If I went up and above, I would beat myself up. And then it just added to food anxiety, where I would get very fixated on what I was eating. And then it can get people to spiral into a black and white food mentality. And it's just, I feel like it's a domino effect.
Yes.
So unless you're training at an elite level, I don't think it's necessary to just have that one number, but give yourself that cushion.
Okay.
That flexibility.
That's good. Especially since, I don't know about you, but whenever it's leg day, I'm ravenously hungry like no other day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd never say 1,800 calories. Well, I shouldn't say it like that. If mine was 2,000 calories on leg day, all bets are off, because I would eat right afterwards and be satiated for about an hour. And then an hour later, it feel like I didn't eat all day. Right? So I'd eat again, be full. And then probably around 5 p.m., it would be that same ravenous hunger from earlier. Does anyone else feel this? But it's only when I do legs, when I blast legs, right? So to hear that, to say, okay, here's a range, a cushion, and then, all right, you're refueling and recovering. Go from there. So yeah, wow, I feel like I should be paying you as a personal trainer, but you're on the show, so full free.
There you go.
Milk it. Tell me everything I need to know for the rest of my life.
Basically, I am.
Okay, continue. Evan, we're not cutting at all. We'll be here for 7 days. Okay. What's the next thing?
The next thing
for going to training, because we talked about food, splitting up food, having a cushion, getting those steps in, knowing portion control, being balanced. Let's get to the hard part. Or say the easy part, which is lifting weights. Picking up heavy stuff and putting it back down.
Yeah. That's basically it.
That's it? Just pick up heavy stuff, put it back down.
Yeah. It's very... a lot of times people complicate it.
Yeah.
Especially social media influencers. Like, oh, look at this new hit workout. Mm. This workout gets you to sweat like you've never sweat before. But it's about getting your body moving.
Yes.
And so I think it requires a lot of self-awareness, building up that self-awareness. What do you enjoy? Because some people absolutely hate weightlifting. Hmm. I don't understand that because I absolutely love it. But maybe running is more your style, or you like higher endurance training. Hmm. So HIIT workouts would be more beneficial. Hmm. Maybe you want to do more yoga. Hmm. Great mobility. Hmm. But I would say if someone can incorporate even one day of training, lifting heavy things.
Yeah.
Like that would help them out tremendously.
Absolutely.
Because the more muscle you have, the more your body is going to burn, but also you're going to be stronger for your day-to-day activities.
Yes. The thing that I noticed was if I do calisthenics before I eat, all of a sudden it feels the same as if I had gone to the gym. And I know there's a lot of mixed reviews about targeting areas on your body, but I think the concept of moving whatever muscles in that area starts to mobilize the fat there. Like, I don't know what the statistics look behind it, but I notice a very quick difference, especially my waistline, if I'm doing just sets of 10 sit-ups, right? So maybe I should say reps. If I do 10 reps and then 10 push-ups and then 30 seconds of an ab variation, eat some food and go for a walk, it feels equivalent if I just blasted that at the gym. And so to do that at a very low level every single day, I feel like it gives you more endurance in the long term for keeping up with whatever that workout is. Have you any input into that?
Can you rephrase that?
Yeah.
A little bit.
I have, unlike you, a blazing six pack. I got a keg, right? So I'm like, all right, how do I trim down? All right, I'm gonna do some sit ups beforehand. Actually, let me start from the top. Pretend no one's ever seen You Versus You. This is the first time I've ever heard a podcast before. I'll start from the beginning. When it comes to core, that is a weak area on me, and I want to strengthen that. So take it at its very smallest building block. You'd say 10 sit-ups. Just do 10 sit-ups. All right. Before each meal in the day, do 10 sit-ups. Right. Don't think about the inconvenience of this, especially if you work in our office or anything like that. Just you're going to figure out a way to do abs for 10 reps, right? Then it would be 10 push-ups and then 30 seconds of an ab variation. So you could do flutter kicks, leg raises, Mason twists, whatever it would be, right? And that's one set. So it's like a little circuit. ab, push up, ab again. Have your meal, go for a 10-minute walk, right? So that's breakfast, lunch, dinner, minimum three times, right? So that starts to stack up, especially mm-hmm. after week one. You're like, oh, actually, I can do two sets of 10. Oh, I find very shortly I can do three sets of 10. And then it's not even this time-consuming thing because you've built up the strength to do it, right? So by doing it that way, there's the longevity you can maintain, and then you find yourself getting stronger and stronger, and you're not even thinking about what it used to be like or what the end goal is. It's part of the journey. All right. So put that into consideration for low-impact cardio. It's a 10-minute walk after a meal. So going back to the original question was for targeting areas on your body specifically. Oh, I got a gut. How do I get rid of my gut? My theory is to hit it with those exercises and then do some cardio. So you know there's not any storage of fat being built now. It's being hit. So the blood's flowing there. And that's what that pump is, right? Oh, that feels great, right? And very quickly, my waistline goes down when I do it that way. Instead of going to the gym and then doing a day of abs or saving it to the end of my workout on like tagging it on whatever it is, right? To do quick five sets of crunches, weighted resisted crunches, then go home, right? This low impact but targeting method of before and then after the meal seems to be really effective.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I would say I disagree with the spot reducing because we didn't tell the excess weight, the excess fat, where to go on our body. So the same thing is true when it comes off normally. So for me, I gain weight first when it comes to my stomach. And so that's why I'll start gaining weight. But that's also where I start seeing results. When I train at the gym, do more walks, or just increase my movement. And so I would also say that it's important to recognize that muscle, it has more storage space than, fat has more storage space than muscle.
Okay.
And so maybe you are building up muscle in certain areas, and so you're gonna look leaner in that area because you're also decreasing the excess weight, the excess fat that you have. And so I think sometimes that can play a little trick on our minds to where it would make sense why people would say, oh, you can spot reduce, but you're not able to.
I'll take the trick because it's effective for keeping me going. That's momentum. I'm all about that momentum.
All right, you do you.
Hey, it works because this is, I think at the end of the day, all right, so imagine that's the science. I say, okay, I believe it. Psychologically, as to help jump over that hurdle, I think it's very effective, right? So let's see you write your paper about that, peer-reviewed.
You're building up muscle and you're moving your body. It works. I'm happy.
That's actually
I'm happy with it.
That's what matters the most is if you're moving and burning calories over time, it'll be effective and you'll see it in the physique. So this is all about those hacks, you know, what are the little hacks I can do to keep me going instead of being like, oh, all right, this is brutal. I have 6 weeks of this. This is awful. Right. So, yeah. All right. Can you tell the people what those numbers were when you started? Like, we see the finished results of the new Alex, the metamorphosis of Alex. But what did it start as for such a drastic change?
So you said the numbers?
Yeah.
So
in any direction, you don't have to. I know some people don't want to say specifically, but.
Oh, I got you. It's fine.
Okay.
They're just numbers.
Just numbers.
So I was 270 pounds
when
I started my health journey very intentionally. And my body fat percentage was around 49%. So almost 50% of my body was fat.
Wow. And one, that's really impressive to have made such a change. And I'm trying not to internalize that because I put my in-body composition on Instagram. And I'm like, yo, this, I can't believe I have this much fat. But like, I don't know. I feel like I'm so active. It's deceiving, right? So, I feel like you saying what you said became a mirror to me, right? But the whole point is you sticking to your journey and doing it. Like when I first saw you again, I couldn't believe it, right? And like, I had that reaction with people too, having lost 100 pounds, but it was nowhere near the change that you had made and then also maintain. I feel like you didn't even maintain. You just got stronger and stronger and stronger. You're like, you're the female version of Goku. It's like,
That's a beautiful compliment. Thank you.
It was true. It's true.
Like, but you made a lot of progress too. I would say don't cut yourself short.
It's you versus you.
That's right.
I'm not going to be fixated. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Don't fall into comparison.
Thank you.
Comparison is the thief of joy.
Says Alexandria. That's an original quote.
No, I think I saw it on Instagram.
Okay. All the
self-improvement ones. I'm like, that's a great one. I'm gonna write that down.
I used to make fun of those and be like, that's so corny. But then when you read it and it hits home, you're like, that's really profound. I think I'd fallen into some mental traps. And then seeing that post, you're right. Right. All right. So where are you going? What are you doing now?
So right now, I'm starting to train for potentially a bodybuilding competition.
I think you already won. Yeah, you already won.
I am nowhere close to where so many of these ladies are. Obviously, like, I don't want to fall into that comparison. Yeah. But there is a certain look when it comes to competing in a show.
Yes.
And so it's been a very humbling experience the past... I think I've been doing this since February, March, April, May, June, for about 4 months. Uh-huh. And I've been going through a body recomp, body recomposition. So I am the same weight from when I started. So 153 pounds.
You're 153 pounds?
Yeah.
Wow. That's the same number of the miraculous catch of fish, same number of beads on the rosary. If you were to, not including the Luminous Mysteries, so number of miracle, 153 right there. Yeah.
There we go.
There you go.
Oh my gosh, that's actually really cool.
Yeah. Put that on Instagram.
Okay. Wow.
Welcome to the show.
Oh man, but yeah. So the past 4 months, I've been training for bodybuilding, and it's just a whole nother level. And there have been times where I felt like, man, I'm just not prepared for this. And I thought I was because I took about a year off to focus on my mental health. Mm-hmm. And so I had stopped weighing my food because I didn't want to see food as black and white, as good and bad. I wanted it to...
In absolutes, yeah.
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 And so I wanted to reframe that mindset that I had. And I felt I was ready. So then I reached out to my former online coach, Dakota, and he recommended Anastasia. I think I said it right. She's Greek, so you pronounce it a little bit different. Normally people just call her Anastasia, but Anastasia, which I think is beautiful.
It's all Spanish to me. All right.
But I love her coaching approach. It's very holistic, very well-rounded. She sees me as a whole person. And so I'll do weekly check-ins, and there's no BS. I do my measurements, I do my weight, and then I let her know, did I have any meal deviations? Yes or no, and then why? And so there have been times where I was just really going through it, to where I started to emotionally eat. And I would have to face it, like, okay, well, I made this decision. Okay, why did I make that decision? And so it's required a lot of growth. And I'm learning to level up in my training and in my mindset. So I am someone who is very strong-willed, very passionate, and very resilient. But this is a whole nother level. And I love something that my coach told me. She said, you're training for an elite sport. And so it's not that you're not resilient. It's that you just need to level up. Mm-hmm. And ever since she said that, my mentality has switched. Instead of, oh man, I'm not going to be good enough for bodybuilding. I'm not going to be able to do this. Like, no, you're just leveling up. And so it's going to be difficult. This is a transition. And change isn't comfortable.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not.
But I want...
Especially what you've done already. Right? That's why... Mm-hmm. I'm always in awe when I talk to you, because I'm like, all right, the level of growth and then adaptation and then growth again, adaptation, growth, and then pushing. I'm like, mm-hmm. Whoa, you already won. I already know, because there's the consistency of almost 10 years, I guess, like eight years.
7 to 8 years.
7 to 8 years.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know what that, if you had the statistics on a graph, would look like, but I bet you it's been, if it was losing weight, it'd be like this, going down, going down, going down, but it's still doing that, and then muscles increasing, mm-hmm. and you're holding it, you know what I mean? So I'm like, wow. Yeah, whoever has that first, second, and third place currently, just know, this is like that scene from Rocky where Apollo Creed is just taking it easy. And then Stallone's beating up slabs of beef in a factory. I don't know if that's too much of a deep cut.
It
I
works.
Assume everyone's seen Rocky, but that's it's not the case.
It's a classic.
It is.
But who knows?
Who knows?
They're missing out if they haven't.
I don't know if I want to be friends with those people. Unless you watch it tonight.
Okay. Just do a big movie night at a park. Be like, yes. Anybody who hasn't seen it, come on.
See it. And there's at least 6 Rockies, then 3 Apollo Creeds, or Creeds, I should say. Yeah. Adonis. All right, we digress pretty severely. Let's get back on it. So you have this new coach, Anastasia, who is, you're checking in for accountability, and then it's really doing some soul searching, mm-hmm. for that. And I commend you for that, because that's the hardest part in my world. I'm like, all right, I almost got into 15 fights before 8:15 in the morning. I should just have a donut. And after having a donut, I'm like, oh, wow, I think I was tripping on some dumb stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I was like that, right? But then to not have that spiral out of control, or it becomes, you know, sabotaging the diet, and then I don't go back to the gym for a week, mm-hmm. right? So what are you doing now if something like that happens with Anastasia?
So if something like that happens?
Well, I feel like, let me just back
up. What did you mean by that?
I feel like I'm nowhere near as controlled and disciplined as you are, so you probably don't have, of course you don't know what I mean, because you don't do that.
Okay.
All right, what happens if you have a bad week? What do you do?
I cry.
Okay, cry it out.
I cry.
Cry it out.
So then
you lose water weight because of the tears. Yes, always thinking.
No, it's really forcing me to face reality. Mm. Because for such a long time, I would dismiss maybe my emotions, and I would be optimistic to a fault. Mm. And so I wouldn't accept reality. I wouldn't sit in those moments of uncomfortability when it comes to emotions. And I would just dismiss it and be like, okay, I'm just going to keep being positive. But that's also a form of self-neglect. Mm. Because the only way to heal is to go through. You can't get over it. You have to go through it. And so I think this has been another step in that healing process for me, mentally and emotionally as well. And so, like, I'll cry. I'll feel my emotions. It'll be very overwhelming. And I'll just sit there and be like, okay, what am I actually feeling right now? I'm feeling angry. Like, am I really feeling angry? No, I'm actually feeling really sad. Okay, so my sadness is coming out as anger. Okay, what am I sad about? Where am I feeling it in my body? And then I'm realizing, like, oh, you know what? I think that's a childhood wound. Mm-hmm. And so It might be a little weird for some people to hear this, but sometimes I will close my eyes and then I'll go back to maybe where that wound started.
Oh, the first time. Oh, man, that's hard.
With young Alexandria.
Oh, no.
And I'll just give her a big hug. Mm. And then I will affirm whatever she needs to hear. Mm. And tell her, you are safe. Like, I am keeping you safe. Everything is okay. And I also have to remind myself, that's no longer reality. Mm. Like, this is a new day. And I am a new person. And just affirming, constantly affirming. Mm. And so then after that, I'll probably reach out to my community. Mm. I'll reach out to a couple friends, maybe reach out to my boyfriend, my mom. And for me, I'm a very self-aware person and I just need to verbalize it. Mm. And it's taken a lot to get to this point, but I will reach out to my community and just say, hey, I'm feeling this way. Can you just affirm X, Y, and Z for me? And they'll go ahead and affirm. Because I already know what I need to hear. Mm. It's just I need that validation to help me get through it. Mm. And then once I verbalize it, it no longer chains me and binds me down.
Holy moly. All right. There's so much to take in already. So the first thing is my hat is off to you for going through the feelings and not just sifting through it, but saying, where is the first time that I felt this? And that's going to bring you back to childhood. Oh, it's going to bring you back to childhood. What was going on? Mm-hmm. And so I talked about this before. I call it going into the vault. All right. I lock that stuff in the basement in the vault for a good reason. All right. A very good reason. Oh, all of a sudden, twisting the thing open, opening it up. Oh, whoa. Wow, I haven't thought about these people in years. What are they doing here? Oh, because I put them in the vault. Mm-hmm. Right. All right. So now it's, all right, if I felt this certain emotion at first, I went down into the vault, examined the situation. It was actually a different emotion that went up, and the coping mechanism was that opposite direction. Mm-hmm. All right. Dang. All right. That's really hard to do. And then the next thing is saying, reaching out to people in that specific tribe that is going to build you up. Not just rando friend who's got your back. Because first thing that happens, sometimes you open up to people and they tell you something like, oh, dismiss it. Or they make a joke out of it. And that's not helpful for this situation. So you have specific people, a specific community of people already who already know what that's like to go through, and they can build you up. Mm-hmm. So that's gold for staying on target, staying on your discipline, and then working towards what your goal is. But then the next thing was repeating back the affirmation of who you are and what you're working on, and that it's not XYZ thing that had set you off, right? That being triggered, well, you got triggered for a reason, but then when it's been healed, you don't get triggered anymore. Mm-hmm. Oh, strange how that happens, right? You got the healing, so now it might just be a scar. It's not a wound that's still bleeding, mm-hmm. right? So thank you. Thank you for that. I want to run this by you because this is very this is very humbling to even say it. So it sounds like you're doing it the very healthy way, and I'm not going to say his name. It looks very similar to me. His name is Wave Luds. Way different guy than me. It's not just changing some letters around. Okay, it was me. Imagine a world where, and this is not a long time ago, probably like episode 10, right? I said, oh, that other version of yourself, that old version, you don't have to become friends with that person. You should kill that person, right? Just put them to death, metaphorically speaking, right? Because it's a metaphor. So one of the things that I had done was in the morning when I wake up and I'm ready to go, and I'm 5 a.m. Part of me is like, no, hit snooze. No, go tomorrow. Oh, you already trained hard enough. I would say, metaphorical knife, you either coming with me or you're going to be laying here permanently, right? So is that something a crazy person would do, or someone who could learn to evolve to be more healthy? Take the Alexandria.
I mean, it definitely got you out of bed.
Oh, absolutely.
And training.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's great. Mm. But I would also say, what type of words are you speaking into your life? And it's great that, at least in that season, you were able to find a way for getting you out to work and take care of yourself, but it's also a threatening way. It's not that it was a crazy thing to say. I guess maybe that was the only way you could receive motivation. Mm-hmm. Some people need drill instructors.
That's what it was like.
Okay, so
a mean drill instructor.
And so for me, in my mindset, I don't fully understand that experiential-wise. Mm-hmm. But I would just say, are you speaking grace into your life? And are you treating yourself, even in the words that you're speaking, with kindness and love? Yes, you can also just say, you know what, get your butt out. And I mean, whatever else that motivates you. But I would say, if you gravitate on a threatening yourself scale, that's a little unhealthy.
Okay. Everyone heard it. It was unhealthy.
Yeah.
Let's not do that. Yes, this was... So I don't think... So I'm not justifying it. I'm just walking through it with you. I'm verbally processing, if you will. It wasn't that I said anything negative, but there was the consequence of not having the movement to go. Mm-hmm. So that's probably where it was the negative, right?
But okay.
Hey, you either... If it's absolute... Right. This is very black and white. You're either coming with me or you're not. Right. So I'm glad to have had this episode because you're like, oh, actually, examine that. Mm-hmm. Go to that area. Open up the vaults. Bring Jesus into it. Hey, mm-hmm. Lord, what was that first memory that I have of this? Right. So I think my knee-jerk reaction is immediately throw it in the vault and not even look. Throw away the key. Right. So this is for that holistic healing, recovery, and then moving forward. Yeah.
Yeah, just because even getting up, even though it sucks, let's say you're part of the 5 a.m. crew. Mm. God bless you if you are.
Not anymore. I was for...
But going to the gym is a place for healing as well. Even though you are putting yourself through so much pain... Mm. You are growing and developing into a better version of yourself physically.
Yes.
And so that's something to be celebrated. And so at least with my mentality and my mindset, what I tell myself when I'm not motivated to go to the gym is like, no, I'm going to show up for myself because I deserve it. And I have goals and this is where I want to be. I want to be able to inspire other ladies, other people who maybe feel like they're hopeless. Who knows who I will encounter at the gym.
Yes.
And there was one day when I was at the gym and there was this lady, she was crying in the bathroom. And I think maybe it was the day I didn't really want to go to the gym. And so I walked up to her like, you okay? Everything okay? And she said, it was just a really rough day. And so I asked her if I could pray for her and I asked her name. And she said, yeah, I would really love for you to pray for me. And I was like, would it be okay if I pray for you right now? Or is that just a little too much?
Yeah.
Which I get. And she's like, no, I don't want prayer like right now. Just if you can pray for me. I was like, I love the boundaries.
Boundaries,
I even
yes.
said that. I love the boundaries. You set your boundaries. Don't be sorry. Like, I will pray for you. And then just last week, she found me. She was like, oh, hey, I don't know if you remember me. I was crying in the bathroom. And I was like, oh, are you good? Like... She's like, yeah, I am. And I just wanted to say thank you for praying for me. Your prayers have really helped me a lot.
Praise God.
And so you never know.
Never know.
You never know. And so going to the gym and showing up for yourself at the gym or choosing to not hit the snooze alarm, it's saying a greater yes to other people and to how God wants to use you in the day. If you can say yes to getting up, and going through, that's probably the most difficult thing to do every morning, is getting up without hitting snooze. And if you can overcome that, you can overcome everything else throughout the day.
This has been very enlightening because I have a hack for that. And it's put the really loud alarm clock, not the phone one, that old school one, way out of reach. Put it way out of reach. Mm-hmm. You have to get out of bed to turn this off, right? So that's what I have to go for. And I found that I'm so annoyed and so upset about it going off, there's no falling back asleep, even if I wanted to. All right, so that's actually the trick to getting up when you say you're gonna get up. And at the 5 a.m. club, when I was there, it was way before that. It's like way before that.
Yeah, because you're at the gym by 5, so you gotta get up way earlier.
Yeah.
And depending on your commute, and you're a little bit slower in the morning, I get it.
Yes. There is a point where I'd set my alarm clock for 4 a.m. and then I had to do 3:30 a.m. because it was the level of annoyance and then not being sociable at all. Like, I might as well just grunted at people. Like, that's the only way that I'd operate. So, like, all right, do yourself a favor and be nice to people, or at least be somewhat approachable to people. So I have to get up even earlier and put my mind on right. Be like, oh, hey, good to see you at 5 a.m., right? I'm Miss Ingrid, right? Miss Ingrid, that's the lady who opens up the gym. Like, Miss Ingrid, good to see you. But if I didn't do that, set it for 4:45 and would be at the gym at 5, oh, man, it might as well have been Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde situation, right? You know, you want that. Yeah. So this is, I feel like you're ironing out a lot of the creases that I had in my journey. So, Alex, this is very much needed to be here and to go through these things.
Praise God. Our life's a witness.
Yes. I have to be a credible witness and a approachable witness, a Jehovah Witness. That marinate for a second. All right, hard change of gears. If you could train anyone on the face of the planet who is, you know what, dead or alive, who would you train? And say they want to lose 25 pounds or put on 25 pounds of muscle, something extreme for, say, a sport or for a movie. So they need the best of the best personal trainer. They heard about Alex. Who would that person be?
Oh, see, I wasn't thinking of anyone famous. I would love just to train a family member or a friend, or anyone who just really wants to see improvement in their life.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I wasn't even thinking that.
Hey, okay. It's open-ended.
Yeah, just because I've seen a lot of my family members and my friends, sometimes they struggle. But a lot of things could be remedied just with a healthy nutrition and movement throughout the day. And so I would love to coach someone who's serious about wanting to take care of themselves, because I have a crap ton of tools and so much experience that I just want to help and give everything that I have learned. Because it's difficult, it's hard. And I want to be able to walk with other people through all the junk and help them see, like, you know what? Like, I was there too. And you can get to wherever you want to be. Like, for me, I just want my life to be love and to extend God's love and healing and His mercy. For some reason or another, it's just ended up becoming health, mind, body, and soul.
Hey, yeah.
So I just want to extend that.
Do it. And you're doing it right now. All right. Give the people who are listening your contact information, or how can they best reach you?
Through Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah, through my Instagram, LexGoFlex.
LexGoFlex.
That's
really clever.
I don't remember if there's like a period in between each word or an underscore.
That's a good question. I don't know either. I have to check my
Instagram. Because I changed it like 2-3 years ago.
Okay.
And I actually just started taking clients again.
Okay.
Because I was just having a lot of stuff go on. And so I wanted to make sure I was good before I started training again.
Smart.
Because it would be unfair to them.
Yeah. Wow, you're such a role model. How does it feel to be such a role model?
It's very humbling.
Yeah.
It really is. It's very humbling, and it's just such an honor and privilege.
I've
been hearing that from just different people, like, wow, thank you so much for just being you, like sharing your story. You inspire me, and it just gets me to reflect where I was and then where I am now. And it's just a big testimony on God's love and mercy and his love.
Amen. He's a healer. That's Yeshua Rapha. Jesus' healing has healed in the past, brings healing. Just to make up for the Jehovah Witness comment I made, I figured I'd bring it back. All right, so do you have the official stamp, that check mark on Instagram?
I don't.
Okay, so what's your profile photo for this moment where people would know Lexico Flex, this is you and not some other account that has a similar?
So it's me right at the end, after I finished my half marathon.
Okay.
Last year, I'm wearing a blue shirt.
Okay.
And I have a thumbs up.
Oh, hey. Okay, perfect. Remember that.
Like, if you see the smile, it'll be right there.
Cool. That's how it's
with the thumbs up and the blue shirt.
After we end this episode, I'm going to put a blue shirt on. I'm going to find an area that kind of looks like I finished a half marathon. I'm going to do the same smile, and I'm going to call it Jex Flex.
Jex Flex.
Jex
right.
Flex.
And then you have to do
and
the
I'm
going to
make sure, I'm going to do it, I'm going to follow it to the T on your pose. It'll be me. That's a fake account. Don't click that one.
Clickbait. Don't do it.
Clickbait. Don't do it. No, yeah. All of a sudden you're subscribed to all these email things. I don't know. All right. I'm going to double down on this question. Imagine that specific family member. And this time they're ready to hear you out and implement those tools. What would be a quick program that you'd come up with on the fly for that person? You don't have to say their name. Just how would you do it?
When it came to nutrition, movement, like...
All of it.
Okay.
Weight training, nutrition, your whole approach to betterness and wellness.
Okay. Well, I would say, first off, I would challenge them to drink more water. So drink more water. I would challenge them to have a glass of water before each meal.
Oh,
especially
so hard.
If their water intake
so
is trash.
Oh, that's so hard. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you eat less. Oh, yeah.
Because mm-hmm. A lot of times we eat when we're actually thirsty. Mm. And then when you drink a lot of water, it helps with your bowel movements, too. And your body's... like mostly water. So it's important to give your body what it needs. So I would challenge them to stay hydrated. And so the glass before every meal. And then I would challenge them to have a step count.
Step count. Okay.
Especially if they were not moving very much, because I don't know their movement.
Smart.
So I would kind of analyze where they're at and then what would be the next step for them.
For this specific person that you have in mind, what would you put that just probably out of the gate step count at?
I would say the average would be 10,000.
Oh, it's so hard.
10,000 steps. That's actually the recommended.
I know.
That's
when I'm on my P's and Q's and I hit it, I'm like, I don't know if I want to do this tomorrow. It might be saying a lot about how I feel about walking and cardio. But yes.
Like, that is the goal, but let's say they're doing like 1,000 steps.
1,000 steps, all right.
I would challenge them to
That's more my speed.
3,000.
Oh.
2,000 to 3,000. But my approach is, okay, what's something that's going to be challenging but also very easy? So on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being as easy as opening your eyes in the morning, okay, whether you like it or not, like you open your eyes.
Need to open your eyes.
And that's super easy to do. It's just muscle memory. What's a 9? What's the next step that would be a 9 for you?
Changing my boxers and putting on clothes.
I meant in counts of steps.
Oh, of course.
So like 1,000 steps.
1,000 steps,
okay, what
yes.
would be a yes. 9 for you?
Well, let's not downplay how hard it is to get dressed in the morning. All right, so let's just... All right. Yeah, I'd say 10,000. If I know the goal is 10,000 steps, I will make it a point to do it, and I'll split it up a bunch of times in order to hit it.
Okay.
Yes.
Let's say you didn't have that mentality. What would be that level 9?
The easy level 9 would probably be 7,000 steps.
Okay.
Yes.
So from 1,000 to 7,000?
Oh, like no, 1,000 to 3,000 would be hard. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then when I get to 3,000, push it up to 500, 5,000, and then 7, yeah. Okay. Now I see what you're saying. Yes.
Okay, so it's about doing small things mm-hmm. over a long period of time.
Yes.
And not just jumping head in.
Yes.
Because that's how people have yo-yo dieting.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's not sustainable. Like, mm. we didn't get to where we're at overnight. Mm. And so it's not going to take overnight to get to where you want to be. Mm. And so it's about building those small little habits mm. because you want something sustainable. And like my goal as a trainer, I don't want people to need me mm. at the end of 6 months. If they want to keep me for that accountability, let's go.
Okay.
Like for me, I am someone who thrives with coaching. Mm. Like I know what to do. I know what to eat. Mm. But I just do better. And it's one less thing for me to worry about.
Yeah, definitely.
And so, but my goal as a trainer is that by the end of 6 months, you don't need me.
Okay.
Like you have built up solid habits to where you can share that with your loved ones, your family members, and you can continue to make progress without me.
Wow. You've taught the person how to flap their wings and leave the nest. Wow.
Yeah, because wow. I don't think if let's say I have a client and they trusted the process, mm. they grew, they learned, and they're not successful mm. afterwards, according to whatever their goals are. Mm-hmm. After they've worked with me and they've gone solo and they regress, then I didn't do my job as a trainer. Mm. Hmm. Because I don't want someone to have to rely on me. One, that's codependency. That's
absolutely
not,
no, that's not good. Definitely not good. Yeah.
But I want them to be able to thrive mm-hmm. on their own.
Then imagine that person's listening right now. And that first 6 months was great. They left and then they said, oh, I couldn't do it without you. And that started to be that codependency thing. Mm-hmm. What would be that next move for you to do? For them, is that like a sit-down conversation? Is it, oh, hold on, I'm actually a little bit concerned. What, how do you draw the line?
I think if they said, I can't do this without you, I need to continue. Mm. I would ask them, okay, why do you think you can't do it without me? Because maybe it, that they can, but they like the accountability. Mm-hmm. Or let's say they need to refine a couple more foundational skills mm-hmm. because life happens.
Yeah, life
right?
does happen.
And sometimes we regress. Mm-hmm. And so some things might not be all on me, mm-hmm. but I want to take accountability for everything that I need to. Mm-hmm. And so it would just depend. It would really mm-hmm. depend. And I think seeking why. Mm-hmm. Why are they saying that? Because maybe they are saying, I can't do it without you, but they really can, and they're saying something else. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so I think it's important to build those communication skills and that professional client relationship.
Hmm. Wow. And hearing you say this, I'm like, oh, you're kind of like a scalpel to the problem. And I'm more like a broadsword. Yeah, this is...
I'm very detail-oriented. It's
yes.
like little things
yes.
for me. I pick up on so much.
Yes. Yeah, this is... feel like I'm having multiple epiphanies when I talk to you. Like, oh, wow. I think I might have been a little bit rough in this area. I'm like, oh, wow. I think I might have been a little bit of a psychopath in this other area. Oh, wow. I feel like me and David Goggins would get along well in this area. And then, ooh, man, Alex does it way different. I like that approach better over here. But, yeah, so I'm gleaning all these nuggets, and I'm going to be able to sort through them later like Halloween candy. Reese's cups over here, Skittles over here.
That's great.
Look how many Snickers I have. Right, that's great. All right. What is your ideal training environment?
Ideal training environment. I mean, I love the gym. I don't like the, I guess the classic bodybuilding gym, even though I am training for bodybuilding, because it's just so gray and dark.
And you don't like the dinginess? You don't like the dinginess?
No, I know the lighting's ideal. Yeah. Like, you can be like, oh, look at it. Like, I look even more cut. Like, you can see all the definition, which is great. And maybe they should have a room for that.
A room for that.
But I am very sensitive to my environment.
Okay.
And for me, going to the gym is also a form of self-care, not only something for me to get to my goal, but it's a form of self-care. And I need brighter colors around me.
Makes sense. Yeah. And you like to smile. Mm-hmm. The darker environment does not.
Yeah, it just makes me sad. And just like everyone's so sad and like lifting. And I have a very serious resting face at times when I'm working out. But when I'm done, I'm like, nice.
SRF. That's much better than RBF. Yeah. SRF, serious resting face.
But so I would say there's a gym that I go to right now. It has blue in there and then really nice lighting. So it still has some grays in there, but just the blue just brightens it up just a little bit.
Smart.
It livens my spirit. That or just the outdoors.
Outdoors is great.
I have heard of different weight training facilities where it's just outdoors.
Fun. Yeah, there's one in North Hollywood, man. It also keeps you on your toes because it's North Hollywood. You're like, can't tell if that's someone who's in our class or someone about to be trying to start something. I don't know. All right. Well, okay. There you have it. Did you ever see The Rock's gym? Like the one that he has at his house?
No, I just have seen his gym.
Yeah, those are great. Like, well, how did you even finish that? How many pancakes was it? One, I'm not a pancake guy, but I saw it was like a stack.
Yeah, it's a big stack. Right. He just goes at it like a kid at a candy store. I love it. That's great.
That's intense.
But he puts like pineapple in it. He puts pineapple, peanut butter. I can't have peanut butter, so I probably put almond butter.
Almond butter.
That's, and I put blueberries instead. Okay. I'm a blueberry and lemon gal.
Nice. All right. So would that be your top five cheat day foods recipe? No. What would it be? Go through it.
I normally go for a burger or pizza.
Okay.
And then I have a big sweet tooth, so either cookies or ice cream. Uh-huh. But the older I get, there we go. Wow, it sounds so old. I'm only 30. The older I get, the less I'm wanting to have those greasy burgers, because I'm like, my body, I want it to be like a Ferrari. I want to put good fuel and good gas in there. And also, I'm starting to develop heartburn for certain things.
No good.
So,
no good. All right.
But I would say most recently has been Lebanese food.
Oh, hey. All right.
Yeah, it's just so good.
Got the falafel, the kebab.
Yeah. I'm liking the chicken kebab.
The chicken kebab?
Chicken kebab and their garlic.
Oh, yeah.
What's it called?
I don't know what the sauce is. It's like...
it's just ground up garlic.
But there's something else to it, because there's no way it's just ground. It's not the consistency of hummus, but it's almost there. I know that stuff, yeah. I'm always like, hey, I'll take three of those. Yeah, you just have one? Why are you skimping? What is this?
Yeah, so I would say Lebanese food. And then that would be number one. Number two, burgers or pizza. It alternates. And then I also, like I said, I have a sweet tooth, but I love baking. And because I'm a lot more diligent with my training and then my goals, just the reality is the season I'm in, I can't do much of that.
Yeah.
And so I'll maybe make a mug cake, or I'll make a batch of my homemade cookies, and then I'll portion it out, and I'll put some saran wrap, put it in the freezer, so then it's ready for the future.
Well, that's really smart. Yeah. Well, that is definitely some foresight to do it that way. Mm-hmm. Okay. Imagine... I love cookies, too. How would you say most bang for your buck for a chocolate chip cookie? How would Alex make it?
How would I make it? The key is brown butter.
Brown butter.
Mm-hmm. Brown butter and dark chocolate chips. I don't like overly sweet cookies. Mm-hmm. I love sweets, but I feel like milk chocolate just makes the cookie way too sweet.
Okay.
And I've been like a cookie connoisseur.
Okay.
And so I have tried different chocolate chip cookies and they're delicious. It's just wouldn't be my number one.
Wow.
But I would say brown butter and dark chocolate. I feel like it balances out and it just gives it a more robust flavor.
Wow.
And then some oats in there for texture.
Hey, all right. I dig it. I love how you elevated the love of cookies. I would have been like, I'm just a cookie monster. Like, this is body by cookies. That's the reason why I train, because I'm just eating cookies all day. All right. We're going to have to wrap it up. But I feel like we're not even close to what we need to be talking about for just overall goodness of what you bring to the table. So I feel like I've also learned a lot about myself and the areas that need to be smoothed out. They've got some jagged edges, as it were. So yeah, we'll have to do this another time, have a little continuation.
Yeah,
and
that'd be awesome.
I'm really excited about hearing a specific workout that you do for bodybuilding. So I'm going to keep everyone who's listening on their toes for this, but the minutia, the devil's in the details type of training that you do and have a keen eye for, I want to hear that just mapped out, right? So think about that for next time.
All right.
Well, that's it. This is you versus you. In this case, Alex has the keys. She can pass you those keys, but you got to open the door yourself and walk through it. All right, until next time, love, peace, and Afro grease. I wish I had it, because you know, I guess more beard serum would be more of the place. Mm-hmm. All right. That's a wrap.